We had a great week with Braun Strowman, didn't we, Mike?
Oh my God, can we go back to him just killing Reigns again?
That image could be replayed in my head all day and all night.
You know what? After that 10 minutes or so, repaired all the damage they did to him leading up to WrestleMania.
That is true. Welcome, everybody. This is Calf Crusher Radio. We are live on via our Facebook page, facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. If you want to watch a show whenever we are live, be sure to like our page at facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. You can check out full episodes at soundcloud.com/CalfCrusherRadio. Follow us at Calf Crusher Pod on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. Now that I got the shameless social media plugs out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to start out the show talking about the Superstar Shakeup. That was going to be our one and only topic tonight because we gave you guys an extra hour of content the past 2 weeks, so we were going to take it easy tonight and just talk about the Superstar Shakeup, previewing previewing possible storylines, previewing the weekend in pro wrestling from Ring of Honor, New Japan, and all, and just have a very simple recap show. But tonight,
why aren't we Maggle?
Well, I should be the one calling you Maggle. Yeah. Anyhow, right. Let's get into this. So Mauro Ranallo, arguably one of the greatest sports commentators of all time. Certainly, I would put him up there with one of the best, if not the best, combat sports commentator ever.
Yeah,
I would definitely put him up there with Doc Emrick as far as who I personally believe is one of the best play-by-play guys of all time. Mauro Ranallo has a talent that I don't think we will see for a very, very long time, and he is so damn good at what he does that he made us not miss Jim Ross as much.
Yeah, like he could have been this generation's JR, but you know, it got screwed up thanks to...
So what happened? Let's just recap what happened. So as we all know, Mauro Ranallo has been absent from WWE programming since mid-March, so a little over a month now.
Yeah.
And allegedly... Now, we all have to group this in a big old pile of allegedly.
Wink.
No, not even wink. Nothing's been confirmed, but it is alleged and accused that one of the reasons why Mauro Ranallo is no longer with the WWE and will just ride out his contract until it expires in a couple of months in August is because, one, Mr. John Bradshaw Layfield was doing a usual episode of hazing towards Mauro.
Yep.
And what stemmed from this was Mauro, if you follow Mauro Ranallo on Twitter, he loves retweeting people.
Yep.
He absolutely, if you give him any ounce of support, even if you say, you know what, Mauro, you look goofy-eyed right now, but damn it, have you got a great voice? He'll retweet you with a punch emoticon saying thanks. It's not that hard to get retweeted by Mauro Ranallo, and the guy tweets a billion times a day.
To the point where Corey Graves made a joke about it in reference to TJ Perkins, saying that Perkins was the only person who retweeted compliments more than Mauro Ranallo.
It's very well known that Mauro Ranallo loves retweeting supporters. And you know what? The guy needs it because of something we'll get into in a couple of seconds. So he was voted as the best announcer by the Wrestling Observer. And apparently in WWE space here, acknowledging other wrestling media outlets not named WWE is a big no-no. And what that did was instigate a little bit of complaining from one John Layfield on Bring It to the Table, which is their Pardon the Interruption show on a network. I quite frankly love it because it is real topics and they are off script. They shoot. It is a shoot show, and me, I am a lover of breaking the fourth wall and telling realness.
You know what though? Like the thing with the Mauro stuff, and like if that came from above, him telling them, telling like JBL being told to give Mauro a little bit of shit for mentioning that award, it kind of takes away the unscripted aspect from it because, like, it's something he was told to talk about. Like, it's not a complete shoot because he's just reiterating something that was told that like down from above to him to like, hey, listen, just humble him a little bit.
Right. So when Mauro gloated a little bit, I mean, we could say he gloated. It's fair. If your vote is best announcer or best in anything, you're going to gloat a little bit because you want to feel good. On Bring It to the Table, JBL took some shots, for lack of better terms, took some shots, and he looked really salty. He looked really, really salty because he wasn't anywhere near the top. It was Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves, number 1 and 2 by a margin, as voted by the fans.
And I'm sure Byron Saxton got more votes than JBL.
I would hope so. So that leads to Mauro taking a pot shot back at JBL, basically saying, "You mad, bro?" That's the underlying tone of what he said. Of course, he probably didn't mean it as like throwing his ego around.
Yeah,
because from every interview I've seen of Mauro Ranallo and everything I've heard about him, he is the nicest, most approachable guy you can possibly think of. He's one of those guys that just loves to talk to people and respects your comments, your concerns, your criticisms, your everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could hear the doomsday alarm in the background, but that's what's going on.
I just thought we were having Scott Steiner on.
Holla if you hear me. So that is the
JBL only has a 3% and 3/3 chance of winning that award.
Oh my God, that promo. So let's fast forward to the snowstorm that we recently had here in the New York area. Now, those are the only public comments that I've seen from both JBL and Mauro in regards to this.
Mauro, later on, eventually, like, there's a couple of things that he tweeted.
There are a couple of what the kids say these days called subtweeting.
Like, one even had the hashtag, bring this to the table.
Yeah, Mauro has taken a couple of pot shots recently. Not in personal address of JBL, but...
Good for you, Spider.
Yeah, Spider. So Mauro misses SmackDown, and this was due to the weather, which supposedly. We were so told. Supposedly, what really happened behind the scenes was Mauro had a psychotic episode, which was triggered by alleged, again, throwing out that big old word, alleged word there, triggered allegedly by brutal hazing from Bradshaw, and that caused him to miss SmackDown in middle of March and hasn't been back since. He hasn't been back in about a month, and it has been well documented now, even before this episode, that Mauro Ranallo has some mental health issues.
Yep.
He is a well-documented he's well-documented with bipolar disorder. He's battled depression. He has really bad anxiety problems, and he will be the first to tell you his issues. So the heat on JBL right now is you picked on, first off, a non-wrestler, but you picked on a guy who has a very strong history of bipolar disorder, depression, and other mental illnesses. And you made the guy have a psychotic breakdown. Now, whether the jabs on the WWE Network show were the cause of it, I don't know.
I think that might have been one part of it.
That might have been instigating it, and I'm sure Bradshaw gave him some harsh words behind the scenes, because I have plenty of audio that says that he is known for doing that.
Especially,
but Mauro Ranallo is most likely the most talented guy on WWE commentary in the past 15 years, not named Jim Ross, is no longer with the company and wants nothing to do with the company he's been wanting to work for since childhood because of one guy.
Yep.
And this has sparked a very serious debate. This has sparked a debate, and you are either on Team Mauro or you're on Team JBL.
And if you're on Team JBL, there will be a punch and tea party for the remaining five of you.
Mm.
Also, yes. But also to compound matters with JBL is the book release of Justin Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that before we get into the sides here.
Yeah.
JBL with Marinello, this is the next of many allegations and stories that have had corroborations, that have had himself admitting that he has, quote-unquote, bullied/hazed yep. people. So I'm just going to play a couple of clips here. First is Rene Dupree. Now, ethically, I should say where I got this audio, but I could not find a name for this audio, so I apologize to the creator of this, the interviewer of this. I could not find a name for this, so if you know who this is, leave a comment and we'll acknowledge it. But this is Rene Dupree's story of being called, well, let's hear from the guy himself.
The last 3 years I was there, I was miserable. When I got switched to SmackDown, he was the reason why. So I couldn't, every day going to work, I was called a French faggot. Every day. I mean, I don't want to go to work and be called a faggot. What if I'm not gay, but if I was gay?
So that's just one. Rene Dupree, mm-hmm. which we all know is a French pro wrestler, yep. had a very Frenchy French gimmick, and he was called a French faggot every day.
By JBL.
That's one. So here is Ivory. We remember Ivory.
Yep, remember her.
Here's a story from her interviewed on Kayfabe Commentaries, talking about JBL bullying a indie guy who was just trying out for WWE. It was not televised. It was not a pay-per-view, but he was having a tryout for WWE. And here's her story about what JBL did to this poor sap.
Dark matches are, those were those unpredictable parts. So there was this guy, what was his name? I forgot his name, but God, it was so mean because Bradshaw nailed him so hard, knocked the snot out of him. And it was mean. He hurt him, We were all pissed. Everyone was pissed. The girls were pissed anyway. I don't know if the guys were, but it's just so Bradshaw.
A guy getting a tryout, you mean?
Yeah, guys out there. And he wasn't even like a jabroni, He's not like he's going to make it big, but he's working in a steady indie job. And it's a California gig, and the guy comes up, does his deal, and Bradshaw, clotheslines the hell out of him. For what? No TV, no cameras, no nothing. Hurts the guy. And we're like, that is so stupid.
Mm.
Guy came in, tried to do a tryout.
Yep.
And JBL was purposely stiff with him in the ring and injured him. Why? I guess because JBL's 6 foot and change, 300 pounds.
Dick.
He felt intimidated by this indie guy coming in trying to steal his thunder. He wanted to be a big macho man. No pun intended.
Yeah, not that macho man.
Ivory continues here. Again, this is from Kayfabe Commentaries. Ivory talks about how JBL, he picked on little guys. Why don't you pick on someone your own size? Well, this person his own size just happened to be Brock Lesnar when he first came into WWE. Here's what Ivory had to say regarding JBL basically kissing Brock Lesnar's ass.
Brock Lesnar cracked me up about Bradshaw again. It's like, they're all into the, the hierarchy, and you pull my bag because you're I'm a vet and you're a nobody, and all the stuff you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. And then when a guy like Brock Lesnar comes on board, brand new, young guy, and the company goes, oh, let's make a shining star out of him. Bradshaw's just like, I'll wipe your ass. Oh, you mean you knocked out Bob Holly and you sent so-and-so to the hospital, and him too, and him too, and oh, you don't know how to wrestle? I'll wipe your ass still.
Because it's status.
Can I do something with you?
It's status.
God.
It's got nothing to do with the
paycheck.
It's status.
Yeah, it's who is going to be the up and coming, and then it's like, how do I attach myself to you so that I can help? Hmm. You help me make money.
Wow. That is a stunning piece of audio. Wow. What do you say to that? You have JBL picking on a bunch of young guys, calling them French faggots, picking on them for their size, hiding their bags, which, by the way, is what happened with Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy told a story about this, about how when they first came in, Bradshaw wanted them to drive the car, and throw beers at every sign on the road. And the Hardys, of course, were
like, no,
not wanting to do that. So what did JBL do in response? He made the threat that someone's going to steal their stuff. Oh, if you change by me, I can make sure your luggage doesn't get stolen. So what does Bradshaw do? He takes their luggage and he puts it outside of the arena, in, like on top of a dumpster or whatever, hides it from them, which has their licenses, their money, their credit cards, their clothes, everything are in these bags. And JBL hides them just to, because fuck you, rookie Hardys. That's why. We got a couple more of these. I got a couple more clips here because I got very pissed off when reading about all this. This is JBL and one of our favorite people ever, Josh Matthews. I say that sarcastically, of course. Remember the WWE show called Bite This when the internet was just starting to really take over WWE? Yep. Well, this is JBL and Josh Matthews on backstage bullying on WWE's Bite This program.
I would like to say that, you know, whenever someone, for some reason, does not have enough talent to make it in this company, he's got to look for some excuse. And by doing that, they usually point their finger at somebody. Either Vince McMahon was abusive, or Vince McMahon didn't see their talent, or they were ribbed by the boys backstage. Basically, sometimes they're just fat and not talented.
I gotcha.
So any time you hear that, it's an excuse for a lack of ability. So, you know.
Nobody wants to point the finger at themselves, so they're always pointing it at other people. That's what I've, you know, in my long... in life. That's what
Shut
I
up! You
much.
Got there because of a
right.
reality show,
and
Josh.
I'm not gonna mention any names. So one has a pending lawsuit, which is ridiculous. The other one I'm not gonna mention, Blue Meanie, that said that he's the one that married that woman that didn't she have sex
Jasmine,
with 500 people on one videotape?
Yes.
You know, I don't care if my future wife, because I am divorced right now, has sex.
I wonder
with
why.
When you have sex with 500 on a videotape, I mean, you like run into people, like, hey. Remember me? I was 298. I was 114. Now the son of a bitch is married to that, and he wants to say that I picked on him. Good Lord, man. Go to your local video store.
So either when you finally do say, hey, you know, JBL harassed me backstage, your wife's a whore. Your wife slept with 500 men on a videotape.
That thing, he's an asshole about the allegations.
And finally. Actually, you know what? Not finally. I prematurely said finally. Here's Mark Henry talking about how JBL hazed him. And again, I could not find the source for this clip right here. So if anyone knows it, please let me know and I'll acknowledge it in comments. But this is Mark Henry. Basically saying how he was afraid to get on JBL's bad side. He was afraid to speak up because he was a rookie at the time. And he knows that a little bit of hazing is part of the wrestling business. And this isn't as harsh of a story, but here's Mark Henry's take on this whole thing.
Ribbing is a part of wrestling. They, you know, that's the way they show kind of a fondness for you. They play practical jokes on you. They put your wrestling gear in plastic bags and throw it in the back of the shower and turn all the showers on, you know, like empty all your bags, all your luggage out and put water in your luggage and just stupid stuff.
I'd get arrested if people haze me like that.
They haze me like, and I couldn't handle it. I wanted to fight everybody. and they were like, look, man, you got to quit trying to fight everybody. Like, Jesus. Like, it's, We trying to, like, be brothers with you, you know, and it took a while for me to understand that, and John is one of the people I respect the most in the business now.
Then why'd you guys have beef?
Well, because he picked on me. I'm just, you know, I'm just not, I wasn't, I'm, well, I'm sensitive. I just wasn't used to people picking on me, because, one, like, most people kind of like see me, and the last thing they thinking of is man, I'm finna go fuck with Mark Henry.
So he has a lighter take on this, but he's not denying that JBL hazed him too.
Yeah.
But he addressed it with like, oh, you're a rookie, like you're on a football team or you're in athletic competition. So let's hear from the man himself. Now, this is on the Right After Wrestling show, and I believe this was in about 2010.
Okay.
JBL talks about how he has absolutely zero regret about hazing The Miz and others, and has no he does not apologize about being a behind the scenes bully. He has no apologies for this. But that's not the part that really gets me going. It's the very end of this clip, and you'll hear for yourself. Here is JBL addressing being a bully on the Right After Wrestling show.
I hope Miz is very successful. And did I haze him? Hell yes, I hazed him. Look, a lot of people want to talk about me, and did I haze people? Yes, absolutely. I make no apologies for that whatsoever. It's like I've gotten soft in my older years. When I started, guys were hazed, and they were hazed for good reason, because they want to know in a riot, which we had a few back in the day, were you going to be on the side of the boys, or were you going to be side of the fans? Were you going to run or leave? And so hazing was a huge part. Now it is not a huge part. There is no place in it for in a corporate sterile world that is now the WWE.
There is no place for this in a corporate sterile world known as the WWE.
But he still does it.
So the revelations that came from this Mauro Ranallo episode here, it's not really so much Mauro Ranallo, because he publicly has only given Mauro a little jab on a WWE Network show. No one knows what he's really said to him behind the scenes, if anything at all. But there are more than enough stories about JBL where he has years upon years upon years
of being a douche,
of being a piece of fucking shit to people. There's no better way to describe how this guy acted towards people than by saying he's a piece of shit. There just isn't. The biggest revelation of all this came from Justin Roberts,
yeah,
former Raw announcer. He revealed in his book that JBL, or didn't really name JBL by name, but he alleged that people behind the scenes were having his passport stolen.
Now I should point out, he did not specifically say JBL took the passport. But JBL got defensive about it, as if he were directly being accused.
So again, JBL's totally guilty. I absolutely believe that he was behind this. And in response, it came out that Johnny Mundo, aka Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, him and Joey Mercury, aka Eminem from the Ruthless Aggression era, were told by JBL to steal Roberts' passport, or else they would feel JBL's wrath or get picked on even more. This is when Eminem were young in the company. So like the Hardys, they were like, you know what? We don't want to piss off the veteran, but we also want to do the right thing. And they didn't. Sure thing. Roberts' passport goes missing. And then he has to go to the U.S. Embassy to get a replacement.
Yeah. He had to fly back, too, to get the documentation for it. And
so that's no longer hazing. That's a felony.
Yep.
That is...
He even said, okay, taking the passport to rib, not giving it back, is where it stops being a rib.
Taking it for the day and making you run around like a headless chicken panicking for a little bit and then giving it back to you
is a rib. Keeping it and not ever giving it back is a felony.
Not only is it theft, but you are fucking Roberts over in more ways than just professionally. Personally, he could have problems getting back into the country. He could have problems traveling anywhere he goes if you don't give the man his passport back.
And just, I should point this out, this is a post made on the, about 12 hours ago on the wrestling Reddit. The best way to incite a change in WWE's attitude towards harassment and bullying is to complain to WWE sponsors. So wrestling fans are starting to mobilize in that direction.
You know, there have been years and people in trouble with sponsors. Yeah. And I have always been one to say, you know, I can't get on a high horse here, because I have been one of these people that not only have said harsh things about people. I have been one to always say, don't ever go to sponsors and just get over it. But there have been years upon years upon years of JBL being such a douchebag to people that he's been beat up by three people behind the scenes. Joey Styles, Steve Blackman, and others. JBL has had his teeth knocked in, and he still continues to be a piece of shit to people. Folks, that's not giving people ball busting to initiate them into the business. This isn't just being a veteran, just teaching them the ropes or whatever. This isn't even hazing. You're just an asshole. There comes a point where you have to say, you know what? Hazing would be spraying cold water on them in the shower. Hazing would be stealing their clothes in the locker room. Hazing would be making them carry their bags at the airport. Hazing is not stealing their passport. Hazing is not pouring ice water on Lillian Garcia on the airplane. Hazing is not provoking Joey Styles enough where he punches you in the face. Hazing is not provoking Steve Blackman enough where he punches you in the face. Yep. And hazing is not triggering a bipolar and depression episode with a guy who is well documented with mental illness to the point where we don't know if Mauro contemplated suicide at one point. We don't know. He seems to be bouncing back now and great for Mauro, but we don't know. And that leads me to the big debate that comes from this whole JBL saga. You are either on Team JBL, which means you are on the side of, it's hazing, get over it, stop acting like a baby. Or you're on Mauro Ranallo's side, which is, dude, you're being a dick. I believe I'm in the middle of both of them, because on one point, I understand that veterans, I mean, in every professional sporting event out, in every professional sport out there, and believe it or not, this fat sack of handsomeness right here used to play football too back in the day.
I know I did. Thank you, buddy.
Me too. Both Mike and I played football for our high school teams, and both of us have seen locker room talk. Both of us have seen, you know, the treatment from the quote unquote veteran players, aka the seniors.
Yep.
We've gotten ribes. There have every extra school curricular activity that we were a part of. There's always one or two guys that are the leaders of the group, the alphas of the group that bust balls of the new guys that are coming in.
Yeah.
With every form of athletic competition, with any locker room with people, we're going to get this. I get that. I understand.
I mean, okay. I never really had to deal with hazing in football because I actually, my freshman year, signed up too late for them to be able to. Like, they had already done all their hazing by the time I was talked into signing up. But baseball, I was hazed freshman year. Like, but again, what they didn't do with the hazing stuff was stuff that could be classified as a felony. Or, like, stuff that's, like the Lillian Garcia thing. It's just, why the fuck would you do that? Like, why does she need to be hazed? Which I never got. Like, if it's a whole thing of, like, the culture, oh, the culture of the boys, like, it was weird when I heard about stories about, like, the women's wrestlers getting hazed or the valets getting hazed. Because, like, they're not part of that group. Like, they're backstage and they're part of the company, but they're not part of that, that the boys group. So why are they getting hazed as if they were one of them? Like, it made no sense when I would hear stories of that. The problem, and my main issue with the whole JBL thing, is the longer JBL has a job with WWE, the stupider their Be a Star campaign looks.
Not only that.
And if that's Stephanie's baby.
Mike, it's not only that. This comes from the top.
Yeah.
All of these years of harassing younger talent, being assholes to people,
is allegedly people
all
being
from
told
Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, of course.
And for those of you who might be surprised about that, go back to his Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, where he said one of the funniest things to him is watching someone getting pushed into a pool. Because of the reaction they're doing as they're getting pushed in. He finds that act to be one of the funniest things he can see someone do.
I'm not going to lie, pushing someone randomly into a pool but is kind of funny.
But, like, he thinks it's the funniest thing he could ever see. Is there any surprise that that person would not have an issue with some of the shit JBL does?
And I posted out there to try to get a feel from the audience. And the responses have been pretty extreme on both sides here.
Which, by the way,
a lot of people should say that, yeah, that WWE is out of control. They need to fire JBL. But here's one comment that is the epitome of Team JBL. This one person. It's a sports atmosphere where there are alpha personalities. Anyone who's been on a sports team would know there's hazing, harassment, and bullying to a degree. The point is you earn the respect by punching them in the mouth or just having a spine. He continues, it's part of the course when you're dealing with testosterone-fueled egos. As an adult...
No, those testosterone eagles are also a pain in the ass. I mean,
they're also going to be last place in the NFC East. As an adult, you should know how to deal with being teased. All these kid gloves and fire him because he's a jerk is the most childish thing adults could actually say. That's broken English, by the way, sir. The news is filled with people who don't know how to be an adult. Among other things that this person said. Now, while I will agree that there are a few instances where a little bit of hazing is okay, and it's okay to trash someone once in a while if you mean it in good spirits or satire, wouldn't being an adult be treating your coworkers with respect? Wouldn't being an adult be treating someone with well-documented mental illnesses with respect and dignity, and not like he's a piece
also,
of shit?
Yeah. Also, let's be honest.
And let's be one final thing here.
No, there's a couple things too with that.
Mauro Ranallo is a non-wrestler.
Yeah,
I can understand if Mauro was a former wrestler turned announcer like JBL, but Mauro is a professional broadcaster.
Yep.
He's not a wrestler. He doesn't know what it's like to be a wrestler. So you don't treat someone who, by the way, was probably not a pretty penny for WWE to get to sign, by the way.
Yeah, no, they...
You do not treat this person with the level of disrespect that you do because, oh, you're just a good old boy that loves some joking around and wrestling.
Some jokey jokes.
You're just a piece of shit, John. That's all you are. And the people who are condoning this, you're pieces of shit as well.
And, like, the other issue that I have with that comment, too, is, like, you can't, like, the people who are saying, like, oh, sports culture, aren't these the same people who look at wrestling and call it not a sport?
Oh, yeah.
The same people who do that are saying, well, you know, it's sports culture. Go fuck yourself. Like, you can't not call it a sport and then compare it to sports culture. Because you know what? WWE is now a publicly traded company. All right? So all the excuses of, like, trying to compare it to, like, being in a college football team and being hazed or the NFL and being hazed go out the fucking window. Because you know what? Those teams don't unless you're the Packers with their phony fan ownership, they don't have boardrooms and CEOs to answer to. All right? And you want to know what happens when there's that lack of accountability in athletics? You get the Jerry Sandusky issue where they'll just overlook stuff because boosters want to pay for a winner. So no, like, it's not like sports culture at all. Like, and let's be honest, the newer crop of wrestlers that have been coming up through the ranks of the indies are just, they're different people mentally. Like, they're not, that culture is not part of their DNA mentally. I mean, like, the worst ribbing you'll see from the newer guys is stuff like talking smack, where like Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler were like not meanly giving Renee a little shit about the wedding ring she had on her finger. Or like Daniel Ryan playfully teasing her a bit about Dean Ambrose on the show. Like, that's the worst you'll get from the newer guys. So, you know what? The whole like, oh, well, it's an old school thing. No, like, there's a reason some of the old school practices are not accepted now. Because it's a Fortune 500 company. There's sponsorships. The old territories, they weren't the ones who were affected by the sponsorships. The WWE sponsors that we hear about, like the KFCs of the world, they're direct WWE sponsors. Twix, direct WWE sponsor. So, like, their money is directly going to WWE. So, you know what? When that shit is factored in, then the whole boys will be boys argument goes out the fucking window. Because at that point, JBL's a liability. And you know, let's be honest, JBL's not good at his job. Not good enough to make him irreplaceable. You could throw Booker T in there and you'll get just as good of an experience from the color commentary part. You could throw, well, maybe not Lawler. Lawler is like a broken shell of himself. But you could find a wrestler who used to work for the company to play the dick heel role. You could even do that in your NXT wing if there's someone who has a good voice but not good in the ring. Or someone who's been injured too much but has a personality, like when Corey Graves had to retire from in-ring work to be a commentator. There's ways you can go around that. And the excuses made for JBL, the reasons why he still has a job after this, are astounding. They hold no water. So no, JBL needs to go for many reasons. For many reasons. It makes your bullying campaigns have no credibility. It all just disappears.
I didn't even think of the Be a Star campaign. Yeah, absolutely right, Mike. The Be a Star campaign is just...
You can't go there. Yeah, you can't go there and publicly say that you're against bullying and then let JBL continue to have a job after all this is coming out.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Like, and again, I think if it were Stephanie and Triple H making that decision, JBL would have been gone yesterday. But Vince making decision, JBL is going to stay until he absolutely has to go. We're at the early part of that. We haven't gotten to that point yet. But look at Bill DeMott. They didn't fire Bill DeMott. It got to the point where Bill DeMott decided to quit before he got fired. Or was told, listen, we're going to let you save face and not publicly fire you. Just say you resigned. Like, that's probably where it's going to go when it comes to JBL.
Do you realize how much of a piece of shit you have to be if I'm calling for him to be canned? I mean, do you realize how fucked up you had to be in order to get Chris Hamill to say you should be fired? And if this was one instance, I probably would be on Team JBL and saying, you know what, guys? This is one time. Get over it. If you don't want to watch, don't watch. But WWE will still keep making money.
Yep.
This is years upon years upon years of stories of him being such a fucking asshole to people. You know what? JBL is approaching, what, 50 years old?
Yeah.
He's a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
This is not him discovering who he's going to be as a man. This is who he is.
Yeah, and
he is a piece of shit of a human being.
And you want to make the old school argument. Guess who doesn't? You know what? The Undertaker wasn't doing that shit in his 50s. Like the hazing and like justifying it. Like, he would threaten people who tried to be dicks about...
He was the boss of the locker room. Yeah. You knew who the fuck he was, and you don't cross...
Yep.
You do not cross the dead man.
But guess what? Like, he's not soaping random new guys' asses in the shower to fuck with them. Which, by the way, is a common JBL story.
That's a level of...
He's not...
I don't even want to touch that. Why would you randomly sew people's asses?
Like, just uncomfortably, just to make them uncomfortable to, like, fuck with them. Which, again, like I said, a JBL thing.
Maybe JBL allegedly is secretly gay. It's probably not true, but allegedly.
No. But, like, you know the other enraging thing about the JBL hazing shit back when he was a wrestler was that he had other people do his dirty work.
Oh, yeah, so it can't be traced back to him.
Yeah.
That was great.
Like, he would have other wrestlers do the shit for him so that, like, his hands weren't constantly getting dirty. Like, he had tried to get Morrison and Mercury to actually steal the passport, according to John Morrison, which I'm sure Jay Book, well, you know, he doesn't work here anymore, so it doesn't hold any weight.
And this is how JBL responds to all these allegations in 2017. A, he calls Justin Roberts an idiot who the locker room all hated, which is just nice to say. And then he blocks anyone on Twitter who tweets him using the hashtag FireJBL, which you all totally should.
You know how many times I've done that hashtag and not get blocked?
I got blocked almost immediately because I mentioned Mauro Ranallo too.
I did the hat trick of things that he's been blocking people for, and he still hasn't blocked me yet.
That's quite sad, actually. Maybe he's not paying attention because he's in Hong Kong right now.
Maybe.
But to me, calling your accuser an idiot who was hated by everybody, yep, a.k.a. being a bully, in response to being accused of being a bully.
Well, which is what we did.
And then blocking everyone on Twitter who even remotely shows any sign of support to Mauro Ranallo.
You know what's funny, though, is that JBL is probably the first person who'd call, like, the millennial wrestlers out for having a lack of accountability.
Oh, my God, yes.
And he's showing a stunning lack of accountability right now.
Not only that, but he's showing that he is just, like, every piece of shit jock out there that made me want to kill myself growing up in school.
If he didn't have pro wrestling,
he is just, like, every other piece of shit that chased me back to my house. He's like this one guy, Norman, who chased me on his motorcycle with an axe from my bus stop.
Jesus Christ.
Because, it would be funny to watch the fat kid waddle in fear back home. Oh, yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Jesus Christ.
Prank calling my house every single day, telling me and my mother to kill ourselves, telling me that I should have been an abortion. JBL is every single kid who made me want to off myself in high school. He needs to go. And this whole acceptance of this bullying in WWE, it doesn't start and end with JBL. JBL is just one rusty gear in a machine that needs to be replaced. And this goes straight to the top. WWE needs to be accountable for what JBL is doing. If this were one instance, I would be right with you guys saying, oh, you don't know the real JBL. This could just be one isolated incident where he let his cool slip once.
No, but it's not.
This is decades of him being an abominable piece of garbage to people. And there comes a point where you just say, you know what? This guy really is what everyone says he is. He really is just an asshole. And you know what big giant corporations do with giant assholes who are causing problems for the mainstream media? They get fired. And we just heard from JBL himself from an interview in 2010. This kind of behavior is not needed in a corporate environment like WWE is today.
So from the mouth of Joe, from the mouth of JBL, he needs to go.
On that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to briefly talk about the Superstar Shakeup, what we thought of it, and we will get to more responses about JBL and Mauro Ranallo after this. Stay right there. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates,
studio and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. We saw this man debut on Tuesday Night SmackDown.
You mean the new face of America.
Oh, that was so great. It was so great.
And the best was his reaction when another person came to SmackDown.
So let's go over where, who is where after the Superstar Shake-Up. As we are hearing from this music, one Kevin Owens is now a member of SmackDown Live. Let's go to the Raw side. We had Dean Ambrose, Intercontinental Champion, drafted the Raw. I think it was a smart move. I don't think he was going anywhere on SmackDown. And with him, Rollins, and Reigns on Raw,
there's the potential for this
potential
Shield.
For Shield reunion. I kind of want to see that. This was a disappointing move. The Miz and Maryse headed to Raw SmackDown.
You mean that wasn't John Cena and Nikki Bella?
No, surprisingly, it wasn't. I'm not too thrilled about this move. The Miz was thriving on SmackDown as its number one heel,
and now he's,
I would say it was a good spot for him to switch with Owens. Now the Owens could be the top heel on SmackDown. Miz can, I think the Miz is just going to be used as a comical relief on Raw and be right back where he was before he had this amazing run on SmackDown the past few months. I don't fully agree with this move, but I'm hoping that he shines on Raw. Apollo Crews to Raw, again.
They need to give us a reason to care about him. Like, he's great in ring, but they need to, like,
He's a great talent. He has amazing potential, but we need something from him instead of the I'm happy to be here guy.
Kurt Hawkins.
This is the who gives a shit move. Kurt Hawkins, someone in at Raw. Well, they need a lovable jobber, I guess. So, there we go. And to go from last week's debate, Mike, chapter two of this debate about this man, Bray Wyatt goes to Monday Night Raw. And we saw that Wyatt was going to Raw after a Finn Balor match, which he was later concussed. Thank you, Jinder Mahal. We saw Bray Wyatt appear on the Titantron and tease a feud with Finn Balor. Now, why would he do that if he wasn't losing the title to Randy Orton at Payback? He's going to lose. Continuing on from last week, which if you haven't heard, Mike here and I had a wonderful discussion/debate/argument/, I want to say, understanding about how we feel on Bray Wyatt. I personally feel that Bray Wyatt has just used all of his resources that he can WWE, and it's only a matter of time before his character gets so stale he is future endeavored. Mike proposed that he turns face and has a few notable programs, to which I agree, yes, I would love to see that, but I sincerely doubt it's going to happen.
All right, I will say one.
This move on Raw shows not only is Bray Wyatt going to lose to Randy Orton at Payback, because we know Randy Orton is staying on SmackDown, as is the WWE title.
I wonder, though, if the House of Horrors match is going to be one of those, like almost like what they're going to do with Reigns and Strowman, which we'll explain later. One of those matches where it's like, well, I mean, it was a weird stipulation, and like almost like how when
is it going to take place on a United Airlines flight?
I mean, because
that would be a really terrifying match. Then you have police people coming in and dragging both of them out of the match when it gets boring.
Would it be a TSA checkpoint? Which, according to Lana, that was a House of
Horrors. That is a very horrific situation for them. But no, what this shows me is Bray Wyatt is not only going to lose to Randy Orton at Payback, but he just teased a program with Finn Balor. And as we know, Finn Balor just came back only to be injured again. Thank you, Jinder Mahal.
So now, like, he might have a different program
for him to lose to. And this is what's frustrating me. This is what pains me as a Bray Wyatt fan. Because they're giving him so much potential and so many good programs. And he just loses.
By the way, you must be regretting all of the times you've given the IWC shit for complaining about wrestlers losing right now.
Yes, I do. I am eating crow right now.
You are eating crow because you get, and I get so much shit from you and like certain listeners of this show who have had shows on the station we're part of, King, about that. But the second your people lose one fucking match or one feud, all of a sudden, the same misuse of the word burial that you guys have thrown back to people like me is now done.
I will admit, I am eating crow right now, but I cannot sit here anymore and say that I'm surprised at what's going to happen with Bray Wyatt.
I mean,
and especially that he's now on Raw. I mean, let's just list the names that are on Raw. Roman Reigns. Ooh-ah. Seth Rollins. Brock Lesnar.
The Meats.
These are three people who will always be in contention for the title, for the Universal title. Bray Wyatt will never get
Bray
there.
And
if he does ever get there, he will lose to whoever he's facing.
Bray Wyatt will probably be in the IC title mix for now, which is going to probably be the top defended title. Rollins is in a place where he's not going to need a main title yet.
Rollins is in a place where he doesn't need a title push right now.
No. They might throw the Intercontinental title on Rollins at some point to give him, like, the Grand Slam. But, oh, God, that means they'll probably throw it on Reigns, too, to give him the Grand Slam.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you,
their master plan is to have Lesnar go into SummerSlam as champion and have Reigns beat him.
I do feel like, though, something about, oh, God, SmackDown's got Money in the Bank this year, too.
SmackDown, we'll explain why, but SmackDown has destroyed Raw and the superstar.
Yeah.
And the superstar shakeup, as far as I'm concerned.
I had the weird feeling about Wyatt going to SmackDown when he was drafted. I mean, he won a world title there and a tag title. I mean, everyone's complaining about Wyatt. Again, my argument last week, if he wins the IC title on Raw, he's a fucking triple crown champion.
That is true.
And in quicker order than a lot of people have had. Like, he could literally be less than a year being a triple crown champion. So, this is not a Zack Ryder case. And I wish Bray Wyatt fans would stop treating it like it were a Zack Ryder case. Because it's not a Zack Ryder case.
I don't think it's a Zack Ryder case, but it's certainly not a good situation.
But, I think everyone's forgetting, in Vince's warped mind, he sees this as a promotion.
Sadly, yeah, I do agree. That Vince sees Raw as a superior show, and if you're on Raw, that means you know. It means that you're in the big show right now.
Big man show tonight. But like, that's the thing. He weirdly, like, Bray Wyatt was put on Raw so that they didn't have to put AJ Styles on Raw.
Yeah, I have to, because supposedly
it was either Bray or AJ.
Supposedly this was one of the a very last minute thing to put.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest, Bray's a better fit for Raw.
Yeah, honestly, if it were Wyatt or Styles there, I would be very upset if Styles were the one going to Raw, because just like I feel with
SmackDown's the wrestling show, Raw's the story show.
Yeah.
Bray is a story wrestler. Like, Raw's a better fit for him. So, like, I actually had no problem with Bray Wyatt going there. Like, and he doesn't, like, he needs to start winning feuds. Like, listen, some feuds he might lose a match or two in, but he needs to start coming up on top on feuds. Like, if Balor's out with a concussion, that could be up to a month. Then let's do a feud with someone that you can have Bray Wyatt beat in the feud. That won't, like, not someone that Vince has invested a lot in. Don't go there yet, so that you can get Bray some momentum. That was the thing with Triple H, when Triple H keeps losing his part-timer matches. I mean, the Rollins one, there was a lot of juice to the storyline, but, like, for the most part, if Triple H keeps losing his, like, part-timer matches, it's gonna lose its luster.
Right.
Like, so, or, and, like, if they had Undertaker lose to everyone in the last couple of WrestleManias, Reigns beating him would have not been as big of a deal.
No, it would not have been. And I get that.
But, so, I think they might need to do a face turn for Bray at some point. Like, I think, there's a couple guys he could have a signature win against. So, anyway, we'll keep going after. We'll wrap that up. Going to Raw.
The last two.
There's
a couple more to Raw. Kalisto
for the Cruiserweight division, which I think is a good move.
Good move. Heath Slater and Rhino to Raw.
They're fucked.
Yeah, they're not going to last that long, Raw. And Alexa Bliss to Monday Night Raw. I mean,
and Mickie James to Monday Night Raw as well.
And Mickie James.
Raw's women's division needed that shakeup.
They did. I think the women's division on both shows benefited more than the male divisions.
Yeah, because Raw added two fresh faces and only lost one of theirs. So, like, that
but
adds
that one,
a lot more.
But that
people.
One face is yeah, worth major. A lot. So let's go to the acquisitions of SmackDown. As we just talked about, Kevin Owens is now on SmackDown Live.
He'll be a star there.
We all know that he is going to beat Jericho at Payback to retain the title. Yeah. We all know he's going to do that and stay on SmackDown. Styles, Baron Corbin, and this man, Sami Zayn, had a fantastic triple threat match.
By the way.
To determine the number one contender for the U.S. title.
By the way, Sami Zayn's on SmackDown too, which I trust them more with Sami Zayn than I do Raw. Jinder Mahal going to SmackDown Live.
The concussion master Jinder Mahal is on SmackDown. The Shining Stars, they had to trade one Who Gives a Shit tag team for...
Although I feel like SmackDown's going to do better with them. They're going to take them more seriously, not give them the stupid timeshare gimmick.
You're absolutely right. SmackDown is the wrestler show. Raw is the show.
Yeah. Charlotte going to
Charlotte
SmackDown.
Charlotte Flair going to SmackDown, which that is such a good pick. She is going to shine on SmackDown.
The best observation about Charlotte going to Charlotte for Alexa Bliss is Alexa Bliss has gotten good on the microphone as a heel wrestler, but Charlotte is just such a better wrestler. She's going to be the shot in the arm the SmackDown women's division needed.
And I have said that Charlotte Flair is the woman wrestler in WWE. And she may not have the best mic skills. She may not have the best packaging of her character. But I think the best overall performer, you can't deny Charlotte Flair has everything that you could ever want.
In-ring performer, you can make a debate.
You can make a debate.
Because Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch are up there.
You can make a debate. But she is among, I think, the best in-ring.
I'll take among the best.
Oh, I completely agree. She's definitely among the best. Tamina Snuka.
I love the tease Shane did, by the way.
Yeah, that was really
second
good.
Generation superstar. Their father's a Hall of Famer.
And Tamina comes out to no reaction.
And I will say, I'm like, all right, he's being so vague. I'm like, Tamina's coming out before they bring out Charlotte.
That's good. And she
it was a great swerve.
She got knee surgery last May, doing very well, and she's back in action. Sin Cara to SmackDown.
SmackDown needed a mask jobber.
And I am so happy about this. Yeah.
Someone else who will get used a lot better. Handsome Rusev going to SmackDown.
Rusev and Lana heading to SmackDown.
By the way.
And the New Day.
Yes.
And the New Day.
Hold on. By the way, though. And Byron Saxton, but I'm not sure. With Rusev,
which sucks because I'm going to miss.
Shut up, Saxton.
I'm going to miss Corey Graves picking on Byron Saxton. And that means David Otunga's on Raw.
Which means, well, I mean, we just get Corey Graves making fun of Otunga for not adding anything. But by the way, difference between joking stuff and being JBL. Corey Graves, we know that he's not being a JBL when he says stuff he says, and he's just reading a script and just being a heel. JBL was just being a douche, just to call back to that. But the one thing I noticed is looks like we know who's getting the Emelina gimmick with the video package they showed of Lana. She is not connected to Rusev at all on SmackDown.
Which is good, I think. I think she's going to keep her ravishing Russian shtick.
She was more like burlesque type dancing in a red dress in the video.
I wasn't complaining.
It's definitely she's getting the Emelina gimmick.
I'm not complaining about the vignette we got of Lana.
She's probably going to fill the Ava Marie slot, someone Vince is very high on as far as looks go, and who might need like some gimmickry to kind of go around their limitations in the ring because they're so green.
And it's good because a real-life couple is still working together on SmackDown, which is good. I feel bad for Ambrose and Renee, on which congratulations.
And we also recently
tied a knot officially. But Ambrose and Renee Young are not working together on SmackDown anymore, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's weird that like because they had done a good job of keeping like married couples together on the shows.
Let's transition to the I want to say one of the only highlights of the week that we need to think of because this will be the start of our last talking point here, and that's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was doing an interview with Michael Cole backstage, and Braun Strowman came from out of nowhere and beat the holy hell out of Roman Reigns to the very loud approval of the Long Island crowd in the Nassau Coliseum. Mike, this crowd was very high on Braun Strowman, and this segment was one of the best backstage beat up segments I have ever seen. This made me laugh uncontrollably more times than a lot of segments WWE has done in the past 10 years.
And the fact that like just when you thought like Reigns was like done getting beat up, Braun Strowman just coming back and continuing it. Like
he had three episodes of just beating the hell out of Reigns. And I'm gonna give a shout out to my buddy Max, who is one of these security guards.
Oh shit.
Who's trying to hold back Braun Strowman. Shout out to Max because he's an indie guy who is right there with the curly hair. There he is, right behind Strowman.
Yeah, because Uniondale, New York, so.
Yep, right there. There's my boy, Max.
The cart. They're like, Braun, get away. And then he turned around. What are you going to do about it?
All these guys are saying, Braun, go away, go away. All of you can stop him if you all gang up on him at once. But they don't.
But it's Braun.
So Braun beats the hell out of Reigns.
The little that right there. He just punked out
he
security.
He pushes a cart of things into Reigns.
Man, listen, Braun is big and massive, but the camera work in the segment is making him look that much.
Oh, absolutely.
More
so
imposing.
Reigns gets on an ambulance stretcher.
And then okay, and that's good hiding of whatever dummy was on the.
And by the way, this whole time, fans were chanting, you deserve it, to Roman Reigns, and thank you, Strowman.
The one time that crowd wasn't a complete shit show that night, because that crowd sucked for the most part.
And then the most unbelievable thing, because the most unbelievable because wrestling thing I have ever seen.
The grand finale.
Braun Strowman lifted a 5-ton ambulance totally without the help of a crane at all.
No, you could hear the crane in the background, but fuck it. It's a cool visual.
It's because wrestling. Why? Because wrestling.
You literally hear the petering of whatever was pulling that ambulance.
The man lived in an ambulance! It's funny all over again. This is one of the stupid reasons why we love wrestling so much.
Oh, God, that's not going to get old either.
Braun Strowman lifting an ambulance with Roman Reigns inside.
Not gonna
it was
get
great.
Old.
It was so great.
So that
leads me up to our final talking point, which is I don't know whether to believe that this is legit or not, but there is a change.org up online about how WWE needs to fire Braun Strowman. And so far it has 1,900 supporters. And here's what it says, quote,
AKA the entire Roman Empire.
Quote, to the WWE, we, the WWE Universe, are not pleased with Strowman's actions tonight on Raw following his brutal attack on Roman Reigns. Me and a lot of the WWE Universe want Strowman fired effective immediately. No period. He crossed the line tonight following the attack on Roman, and now Roman is in the hospital with injuries. If this is what you call entertainment, you, all caps, failed miserably, which is capitalized for some reason. I don't care if he goes to SD Live. We want him off of Raw or fired from the WWE. I have been a fan of Raw for years, and out of everything I have seen happen, this was by far the absolute worst.
Or best. Oh, God. I need to see some of these.
So.
Oh, God.
Obviously, this was either done by. If you honestly believe this, or if you honestly believe the story, you're either A, brain dead moron, or B, you
are the best shit poster ever.
Yes. Either you're really good and this whole thing's a gag, or you're a simpleton. That's the only explanation I can give for this.
Oh, God. Oh, wait. The person's name, wait. Jennifer Kushler. And I'm saying the name, trying to at least, because, oh, her profile picture's of Roman Reigns.
Like you said, Mike, it was the whole Roman Empire.
The entire Roman Empire, all 1,910 of them have signed this petition. I want to see some of the comments because
some of them are really good. All right.
Oh, so 3 hours. Stop signing. Everyone stop signing. I'm getting it taken down.
So it was a gag. It was a gag. That's all you have to say. It was a gag.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, so some of the updates, though. Like, the petition is getting taken down after having a talk with someone that works for WWE. I need to take this petition down, but thank you for the support.
All right. We are going to end on this note. I know we only talked about, like, three things tonight, guys, but we need to seriously address the problem that is in WWE that stems from JBL. It goes to the top. It's a long history. Mike and I are not saying that you can't bust someone's balls. You shouldn't. Mike and I are not saying that you can't do a little bit of rubbing the wrong way. Like Mike and I are not saying that you can't have fun with people. But when you have years and years and years of just being a straight up asshole, it's time to do something with JBL. I think that is all we are simply trying to say here. All right. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. And because I just want to
Boo! They're saying, ooh-ah.
This is my yard now. You can listen to full episodes on soundcloud.com/CalfCrusherRadio. Follow us on Twitter @CalfCrusherPod and like us on Facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. I am Hammy at Hamsgrouper, and this is Mike Falcone at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter.
Yes.
This is Cap Crusher Radio. We will see you next week.